degrees in Kalamazoo. It's a little bit on the chilly side. Of course, much better on the inside where it feels like it's 62 in here. I don't know. I'm just kind of complaining because I do that sort of thing. Hi, welcome. Jeremy Lawrence here with you. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show, spending an afternoon together here on a Friday. And with us, as always, the controller of the phones, the guy that sounds deceptively like the nicest guy in the world. It is
Michael Loudon.
See, you'll actually admit to that. Yes, I sound very nice.
I am. I'm a very nice person.
Yet, you control my phones and will not let them go without a fight. And we will have another of those occasions today here on the program because, you know what? I've got some tickets. And I promised these yesterday. I gave away some tickets for The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Well, giving away just regular old tickets is not good enough for me. No, no.
No.
No, 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 no. I've got to do better than that. How would you like to go see this movie that is out this weekend in IMAX?
That sounds like a pretty good deal right there.
See, I saw the raised eyebrow over there. You're going, okay, yeah, that might be better. Okay. Well, I've got four tickets here. Don't call now. Stop it. Don't pick up the phone now. That's fine. We're going to give these away just a little bit later on in the program. It is four tickets to go see the Amazing Spider-Man 2 on IMAX at the Celebration Crossroads in Portage. This is a great, great place to go see a movie. And the cool thing about the IMAX there is not only is it located near, you know, not only is it the IMAX, but it's also located very near to the snack bar out there, too. So, you know, you can pick up food and go right in. It's just that close.
And you're going to be all set for a great experience.
Absolutely. You have Michael's guarantee on it.
And if somehow that's not satisfied, I don't know what you did wrong.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's not promising to give you anything if you're not satisfied.
I'm not saying I'm going to refund your tickets because they were free, so it's not like I can refund them.
We will give you the value of these tickets that you paid for them.
No cash value.
There you go. There is no cash value. But you know what? We're more than happy to help, at least a little bit. Okay, so we have got lots to talk about today. One of the things I wanted to just chat about before we dig into anything huge here is the video of the day. And you can check it out at WKZO.com. And you've got to look in the blog section in order to find it. And when you go there, you will see, I mean, this is a video that is just pure joy when you watch this. There's a guy who went out and bought a Ferrari. Now, most people with a sports car are going, no way am I letting you drive this. No, that's not happening. But he decided instead it might be more fun to let his friends drive his Ferrari. And then he videos their response to this. As you can imagine, it's sort of that kid in a candy store kind of thing, really. The kind of reaction that most of us, if we were driving a Ferrari, would have. That sense of, oh yeah, right there. You can even see somebody in the video going, there's a Mustang behind me right now. Take that! So you got to check out the video. It is posted there in our blog section. Also posted on Facebook so that you can check it out there as well. And if you haven't liked us on Facebook, well, you miss out on this stuff in your news feed. And face it, you go to Facebook daily anyway, so why not? You know, it's a little fun there to go with it. Plus all the other fun things that we do with our Facebook profile, so hopefully you'll be a part of that. Now, a little bit later on, I don't know, I tend to get into some unusual stuff. Now, I guess what I'm saying is I kind of like visiting unusual places and knowing where some of those unusual things are. I mean, you know, you can go and visit monuments for normal things. You know, go the Washington Monument and things like that. Okay, great. But what about unusual things? Dare I say oddball things? This is the stuff that's really memorable. You know, go to an abandoned shopping mall. There you go. That's one of those eerie feelings. You go walking in there, there's nothing here.
I'd be afraid zombies were going to attack me.
You've been watching too many horror movies. But anyway, but we've got, this is an interesting guidebook that came to my attention. And I don't do a lot of interviews on this program, at least not ones that we schedule. But this hit me as interesting. This particular book, it's called Oddball Michigan, and it's meant as a guidebook to all of these strange, odd things that you can find in the state of Michigan. And I found, I mean, every time I pick this book up, I find there are more places I've actually been to without even realizing it. Like, for instance, the longest front porch in America. It's right here in the state of Michigan.
And where is it located?
It is located at the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island, and I have been on the longest porch. I have sat down in a chair on the longest porch in America.
And caught the view of the lake?
Mm-hmm. Great view there. Excellent view. I have been to a three-armed bridge known as the Tridge right here in the state of Michigan. That's located in Midland, up the Tri-City area. And I have walked across that probably more times than I could count. Used to live in that area. So been there. I have been to Burger King here in town. And we'll tell you why that's significant as we continue along. Because coming up about 4:06, we're scheduled to speak with the author of this piece. I really want to find out from this guy what the inspiration is to write a book like this.
Yes, I'm really interested as well.
You know, because, I mean, you can go to AAA and get the, yeah, and then you can go to the, you know, Museum of Natural History, and you can go to the Museum of this and that. Well, he went and sought out the most unusual things he could find in the state.
I wonder if they count the big tire on the way over to Detroit.
I'll bet it's in there. I haven't looked it up, but we'll have to do that anyway. So we're scheduled to speak. His name is Jerry Pullen. We're scheduled to speak with him next hour about Oddball Michigan. And maybe as you're planning vacations or maybe a little miniature weekend trip, you might be inspired to see something a little different when you go around the state of Michigan. Let's face it, you've seen the normal stuff. You know, you've gone to Tigers games. You've gone to, but have you gone and seen some of these other things? Have you? I don't know. We'll find out. Anyway, that's coming up a little bit later. Also going to be talking political dynasties. You know, people say they hate this stuff. We need new blood in the presidency. We need new people to run for the office. Go Hillary. Go Bush family. See, this is what people do. So we'll talk about that here a little bit later. One of the things, though, that I wanted to spend some time on, and it's made news lately, is Benghazi. Now, okay, we're saying this is a few years ago. Okay, all right, we get that. But there has been some emails that have come to light that now the administration is scrambling for cover, trying to figure out, okay, how do we get out of this thing? And you've seen some interesting things come around. First of all, House Speaker John Boehner has done a couple of things. First of all, he said he'd like to hear from John Kerry, who was not a part of things when that took place. Oh, that'll be useful. Let's talk to the guy that came after all that so he can go, I don't know. I got three purple hearts. You know?
No comment. I have no idea what's going on here.
No clue, which would probably be an improvement over the Hillary Clinton. What difference it now does? But now does it make? What difference does it make? I'll tell you what difference it makes, but that's enough. And then, of course, John Boehner did another thing. He originally had said that he was against establishing a select committee on Benghazi. He says he's for it now. He says the House will be voting to establish a new select committee on Benghazi so they could figure all this out, figure out what happened, when it happened, who knew what, etc., etc. Now, as you can imagine, on the other side of things, the White House is scrambling for cover. Former White House National Security Council spokesman Tommy Viator, he was on Fox News last night. Brett Baer was asking him questions about some of the talking points used after the attack, and he said, dude, this was like 2 years ago. That's their response. Dude, this was like 2 years ago. That's so last year. Come on! And Nancy Pelosi coming out and saying, Benghazi, 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 why aren't we talking about something else? Now, okay. you got to wonder here, if there is no problem, address the issue. And I think with this, the Republicans are talking about this as a smoking gun. I'm not sure it is a smoking gun, but it points out that, you know what, there is a lot more that is known than has been said. Because the email that came out basically gave some talking points to Susan Rice before she headed to the Sunday shows to talk about, well, it was this video. That's what it was. It was a video that responded. It was a YouTube video that, yeah, that's it. That's what it was. It was a no. The attack took place on September 11th. Hello. Do you need any other reason there? They're coming after us on September 11th. Hello. That's all you need, really. But this is what they went out with. Of course, she's like, talking points and what? No, they didn't give me anything specific. No, not at all, no. And it's interesting that most of them talked about that video over and over and over again. At the time, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said, yeah, it's this video. That's what it is. It's the video. And, she talked to members of the families of those that were lost on that day and said, well, we're going to go after who made this video. We're going to get them. Never mind the people that actually carried this out. But these are the things that I think, and if there was some coordination there from the White House, there needs to be more questions answered. And that's why I say, you know what, let's talk about it a little bit further. And I think really, if there's nothing to fear from this, why is not the White House coming along and saying, all right, okay, we'll take a look at this. We're going to do a little research and figure this one out.
Yeah, why do they keep beating around the bush, basically, is what they're doing.
Or, in this case, saying, dude, this was like 2 years ago. That's your response? Dude, this was like 2 years ago?
And we still haven't figured it out.
And Nancy Pelosi, why are we talking about something else? Really? I mean, 2 years since this has happened, and I'm looking at this and going, it doesn't take away the fact that four Americans lost their lives, one of them the official ambassador of our government. And no one has answered for this. Other, well, it was a video. It might have been an attack. Unorganized. I mean, we went on and on and on with this thing, never got an answer, and now they kind of think, well, this was 2 years ago. I mean, come on, let's talk about something that's going on right now. I think there needs to be an answer on this. And if you're the White House and this comes up, you say, all right, let's look at this. Let's find out what the answer is. Let's dig into this a little bit. Because what does the White House have to lose at this point? What do they have to lose by at least coming out and saying, look, this is what happened? And if you look like you didn't do it right, then you get out in front of it and say, you know what? Yeah, we screwed up. Yeah, there were problems. Yeah, there were issues there that we really should have looked at that we didn't look at. And I think that's what's missing from this the whole way. Now, I don't think once they dig into this that there's going to be a ton to be found there. I mean, partially because, the White House is very good at dithering on it and eventually, coming up with some reason why, well, I can't look into this, and plus you've got Democrats and former aides to the White House basically going, squirrel! Because that's kind of what they're doing. They're taking the attention off of this thing instead of looking at it and going, okay, what happened? I would rather see someone like Nancy Pelosi go, you know what? I understand that, that there is some concern about this, so let's look into it. And if there's no concern, we'll find that out pretty quickly. And if there is a concern, then we'll dig into it. That's what leaders do. This is what leaders do. They don't just sit there and go, why aren't we talking about something else? We're talking about this because new revelations have come to light about it. And because, as Americans, we have a right to know about it. Now, if there's nothing there, so be it. Let's figure it out. Let's find out if there's anything there. Now, I want to chat with you a little bit further about this, and I hope that you'll give us a call and tell us what you think. Maybe you feel totally differently than I do. I don't know. I'd love to hear from you as well. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or you can text us as you always can at 80373. You can share your thoughts with us. If you don't have time to wait on the phone line, it's a great way to get your thoughts to us. And you, as you know, if you listen to the program at any length, we do share some of those texts as we go throughout the program, all through the program itself. Now, I think, you know, there is something to be said, and it's almost like an about-face on this by Speaker Boehner. And one thing that he had said is someone needs to answer why this administration hid these documents. Now, calling on John Kerry, I don't know that that's the best thing to do in this case. And I think the idea of taking it a step further and saying, we're going to establish a select committee to investigate these attacks in Benghazi. And I think that's the right thing. But I think there's another thing that, I mean, it was done a little bit at the time when they decided, well, let's talk to Secretary Clinton on this. I think it's time to call former Secretary Clinton back. Say, all right, what do you know? What happened? What happened in the direct aftermath? Because let's face it, she was one of the ones that said that line about it's a video. And she was very sold on the idea that this was a video. Now, if that's what intelligence told you, so be it. Say it. Say it because we have the right to know it. But obviously, there is something a little bit more here than meets the eye. And if there is, then an investigation needs to take place.
And then once we solve it, then we can finally know the answers and we can move past it and we can move on.
Exactly. Or if we get to a point where, hey, somebody screwed up, somebody covered up, then we can hold someone accountable for it and really get to the bottom of this instead of going, well, we're going to look into it and we think we know who did it. And it's a video. Well, no, it wasn't. It was, well, it might have been terrorism. I don't know. That's all we've gotten on this so far. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. 382-4280. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. It's 329, 52 degrees in Kalamazoo. The Jeremy Lawrence Show at 590 WKZO. One of the things that Speaker Boehner said in his statement about establishing this select committee says, the administration's withholding of documents, emails showing greater White House involvement in misleading the American people, is a flagrant violation of trust and undermines the basic principles of oversight upon which our system of government is built. It forces us to ask the question, what else about Benghazi is the Obama administration still hiding from the American people? And I think that's the big question here. I don't know that this is the smoking gun that Republicans would be looking for, but I think it does indicate something more might be there than just what is being said. One of the other things he says is that the administration does not respect the authority of Congress. You think, Speaker Boehner, you think that's true? I mean, it's obvious that this administration, in everything that it does, has come along and said, I don't think it's worthwhile. This is the same administration that says, I have a pen and I have a phone. And basically saying, I'm going to take over. I'm going to do whatever I want. Now, I think this is probably a good thing to be able to come along and say, you know what, we need to look into this a little bit more. And let's actually do it. Let's hold the White House's feet to the fire and say, you know what, it's time you told us what happened. The full truth. And then we can settle it. We can move on with things. It's just that simple. Whoa, 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 whoa. And it is 3:39. The Jeremy Lawrence Show continuing on 590 WKZO. Coming up here in just a minute or two, we're going to be talking with Bob Larson about the weather forecast. And as the Kalamazoo Marathon is happening this weekend, there are many people hanging on our every word wondering, all right, what's it going to be like? What is the weather? What does it hold for us when Sunday rolls around?
Well, I hope Bob says cool temperatures and sunshine. That's pretty good.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what he's got to say here in just a couple of minutes. But in the meantime, if you're curious about anything going on with the marathon, the Everything Kalamazoo Marathon page at our website is just the spot you need to go. And I hope that you'll check that out. There is a link right there on the homepage at WKZO.com. Click on it. Go there. It's brought to you by Denoyer Chevrolet. And I tell you what, it's got so much stuff that you could spend the rest of your evening reading it. I mean, there's just that much good information out there. So look for it. Check it out. The marathon page at WKZO.com. Lots to consider with this marathon in terms of what the forecast is going to be like and what things are going to look like when you get out there ready to run. And so when you have questions about the weather, you always turn to an expert. And we have one here on the program. It is Bob Larson from AccuWeather. Bob, marathon. What are we looking at?
No, I'm certainly not a running expert, but I'll try to do my best with the weather aspect of things for Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much looks the same as we have discussed yesterday, that being cool or chilly, depending upon your perspective, and a little windy at times, but dry, and some sunshine, particularly first thing in the morning. I would think, what time we get underway now? Is it like...
It's right around 8 o'clock,
I was just going to say, I thought it was 8 a.m. At 8 a.m., I would say around... It's going to be chilly, about 42 degrees.
Okay.
Probably a good deal of sunshine, a few clouds. Wind for the northwest, 8 to 16 miles per hour, so breezy. You get up to about 10 a.m., and the temperature should shoot up into the upper 40s, 48. The northwest wind increasing at 10 to 20 miles per hour and partly sunny. And by noon, 53 degrees, a northwest wind 10 to 20, gusting to 25, and mostly cloudy. So... I think there'll be some sunshine, particularly early. Clouds probably then went out. The wind starts to increase, and it is chilly to start and still cool through the noon and early afternoon hours.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like, from a runner's perspective, decent weather for running.
Yeah, certainly I think the cool, from what I understand, is good. The wind, not necessarily a good thing, but at least rain-free, that helps.
That helps a lot. All right. So we go from... we're kind of doing this backwards because we're looking at Sunday first, but let's look at what happens tonight and tomorrow now.
We're going to stay mostly cloudy as we go through the night into tomorrow. The clouds will break at times tomorrow, could see some sun. And despite the extensive cloud cover, not much the way of rain. There could be a brief shower or two scattered about, should not amount to much. Mid-40s for a low tonight, assuming we do see peaks of sunshine tomorrow, we'll take aim for 60 in the afternoon, and it'll be a little breezy. And partly cloudy tomorrow night, maybe an early evening shower, and we've already handled a Sunday. Tomorrow night's low 40. Sunday's high, incidentally, Sunday afternoon, expected to be 58, which is certainly cooler than average for the first weekend of May.
Okay. So with that, what's the word you've prepared for us for today?
The word is crisp, as
okay.
in chili.
All right. Okay, so that's...
Not apple crisp.
You know, I was thinking about it, but I wasn't going to say anything. Now, as we look ahead to next week, what are we looking at, warmer temperatures or about the more of the same?
It's likely to start to warm up, and the extent of that warm-up is debatable at this point, depending upon which computer monitor you were to look at. I think there's going to be a major warm-up out through the plain states, out through the Midwest. We're going to be talking about, in some cases, record heat from Texas and Oklahoma, maybe up into Kansas. Not expecting that here, but I do believe we warm up substantially to get up into the 70s, perhaps as soon as Wednesday, but more than likely Thursday and Friday. In fact, maybe well into the 70s the second half of next week. It is going to turn a lot warmer. In terms of rainfall, maybe some showers on Monday. Next chance may not come until later in the week when it starts to warm up. Maybe it gets a little more humid and we have scattered pop-up showers or something, but I think the overall theme is for it to be warming up next week.
Okay. All right. Sounds a little more typical of May, as it were. Okay. All right. Well, it being Friday, let's hit the numbers then.
All right. We'll start with the yearly comparison. Last year through this date, we were still running more than a degree cooler than average for the year. But this year through this date, we're about 7 degrees cooler than average, even 6 degrees colder than it was a year ago this time. So colder than last year, which is already cool to begin with. Precipitation-wise, that's the big story. We're below average. So far this year, we've had just shy of 7 inches. That's about 1.75 inches below average. Last year, we were at a 5-inch surplus of rain and melted snow, so that's quite a turnaround. For the month, well, it's only May 2nd, so I'm not going to do a May comparison, but we'll give you the final comparison for April. And last April was about 3 degrees colder than average. This April, about 1 degree colder than average. So it has been a cool April, but last year even more so. And again, a big difference in precipitation. Last April, over 6 inches of rain. It was over 3 inches wetter than average. This year, about 2 inches of rain, about 1 inch below average. Last April, we managed 1/3 of an inch of snow. This April, we picked up 1.5 inches. And that'll be the last time I do a snow comparison until, let's say, late October. Okay, we're gonna shelve that and declare the season over now.
Okay, I'll hold you to that. Now.
You're not gonna be sniffling and upset about that, are you?
Oh no!
Oh, certainly right. Not. No, I think we're pretty well done with that stuff.
That's good.
All right. Well, Bob, have yourself a good weekend.
Thanks. You as well, and good luck and everything with the race on Sunday.
I think from my perspective, if I can just finish the 5K, life will be good. That's all
that's
I'm
right.
saying.
So. I hear you.
All right. Bob Larson with AccuWeather joining us there. And tell you, looking forward to a little bit the weather for Sunday. At least it's not going to pour or storm or anything like that. Got decent running weather anyway, so can't complain too much.
So we won't have to wring out our clothes at the end of the race. That's good news.
At least not from the rain.
Yes, just from the sweat.
It depends on how sweaty you are as to how much you have to wring out, I guess.
Well, I think I might be very sweaty.
I have no response for that. It's 3:48, 52 degrees in Kalamazoo. Well, decent weather, all things considered. Warmer than today, I think, is the key for Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You know, 'cause you can look at this as, okay, is the glass half full or half empty? Well, I'm going to look on a positive side here. It's going to be warmer on Sunday, and it looks like you're going to end up with a little bit of sunshine during the morning hours, which is good for running.
Yes, and it's not going to be raining, which will be great.
There you go. There you go. And for those of us who are going to take a long time running, you at least know that you're not going to be fighting the wind the whole time. You might be a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, 16 miles per hour sounds like, okay, yeah, that would be bad. But it's not sustained that way.
But the course will take you in every direction, so there will be times it'll be at your face, and there will be times it'll be at your back. So I mean,
and when it's at my back, I'll be running faster.
Yes, because the wind will just push you right along.
Absolutely. I think I'm going to have to put up a sail during those times. I don't know if they'll let me do that. I don't know.
No, I don't think so. Or hold a kite or something, and that way it just drags you along.
Why not? You know, makes a lot of sense. You know, from that standpoint, if I had a kite, I might be able to upgrade to the 10K, you know.
Join me.
And be thoroughly embarrassed by you. So, well, check out, we've got a page that is on this whole big, something about a run, I don't know. That's anyway, but in all seriousness, the marathon, the half marathon, 10K, 5K, all the stuff that's going on this weekend that surrounds this run. You could check it out at the Everything Kalamazoo Marathon page. It's in the Quick Links section at WKZO.com. Honestly, there is a link. As soon as you go to WKZO.com, there's a link. It's right there and in front of your face. So if you miss it, I really can't help you. I really can't. It's that big and that bold. So check it out on WKZO.com, the Everything Kalamazoo Marathon page, brought to you by DeNoyer Chevrolet. We're glad that they're one of our partners in presenting the coverage to you. Now, digging in a little further, and we were talking further about, we talked about Benghazi earlier and that Speaker John Boehner has done sort of an about-face on this. Originally, he said, no, I don't think we need to have a select committee on this. I don't think we need to worry about that. Well, now he's establishing one and saying, well, wait a minute. They're hiding some things here, clearly, because now suddenly we're finding out there were emails that they didn't say were there before. And you get kind of this, you know, and I don't know that you've gotten even this reaction from the White House. I mean, from some circles, it'd be kind of like, well, shucks, we didn't know that was there. Well, gee whiz. But instead, what you seem to be getting from the White House and from its surrogates is, this is so yesterday. What? Why are we even talking about this? This is not news. This is not something that... talking about this is not a good thing. Okay. But here's the thing. This response of, dude, this was like 2 years ago. I would encourage this person that said that. It went on Fox last night and said that. I would encourage them to try saying that to the family members of those people lost and see what happens. Look at them and say, dude, that was just like 2 years ago. What reaction do you think they would give you if you did that sort of thing?
Angry, grieving still, hateful reactions as well.
And to respond and say, why aren't we talking about something else? Say that to the relatives of those people lost and see what they would have to say. And really, it's a matter of, you know, it's a situation for them, and it is very personal because this is a family member that was lost and lost in the line of duty, as it were. But here's the other thing. We're talking about America's ambassador to Libya. We're talking about the person who was representing this nation in that country. And for some reason, the security wasn't there. And here's the thing. If the security wasn't there and it comes down to Congress didn't give us enough money, then let's find out. Let's dig into it and figure out if that's what happened. But I think the thing that, and it's, to me, the whole thing of, you know, it goes back to the idea of it, the more someone tries to deny something, the more that it might be true. Because you see an awful lot of this, squirrel, you know, they're not even addressing it. It's beyond denial. They're not even going, oh, no, that's not, you know, they're going, why are we even talking about this? Why are we still on this? I'll give you an answer for why we're still on this and why we're still talking about it. Because we still don't have answers. We're talking about 2 years and we do not have answers on any of this stuff. And when more things come to light, we instead get, instead of even denials, it's just, change the subject. Nobody's talking about this. Come on, where you been? Well, you know what? We should be talking about this because we're talking about not only that four people died, but we're talking about our credibility in the world. Can we protect our ambassadors? Can we protect ourselves from attacks by terrorists? And when it comes down to it, this was not something that was, oh, this is in response to a video. The ambassador didn't make the video. The ambassador had nothing to do with that. This was an attack. And they found out later, coordinated. And the interesting thing, speaking of coordinated, is you've got Jay Carney now, the White House spokesperson, that's saying, well, you know, this email that they're talking about, well, it really had nothing to do with Benghazi. Oh, no. It was just general. It's a we were just generally helping. No, it had nothing to do with Benghazi. Even though he admits that, yes, we knew going into that next Sunday, when the Sunday shows came on, that guess what? That's what they're going to be talking about. That's what every last one of them is going to ask questions about. But no, that had nothing to do with that. No, we weren't preparing for that. No, it was just in general, you know, it's just notes about terrorism in general. Yes, yeah, that's it right there, yeah. There's just something that doesn't ring true about this. And to me, I mean, it's beyond the scope of, you know, if you deny something, all right, that's one thing. They're not even denying anything. They're just saying, change the subject. Change the subject. Please change the subject. And, you know, you get some of that. Some media sources would change the subject and look at the other things. And others are going to go, well, wait a minute. What about this evidence? What about this? What does it say? What does it mean? And as they dig into this, you see the administration kind of going along, going, wait, tough questions. We don't know what we're doing with those. Nobody asks us tough questions. Come on.
It's like a black eye to them, and they just don't want to talk about it. But the thing is, when you don't talk about it, the black eye is just going to continue to get bigger and bigger and more mm-hmm. noticeable.
Mm-hmm. And in this case, it really is getting noticeable to me anyway. Think about this. They're being asked simple questions about this. What does this email mean? This email has come out. What does it mean? What were you preparing her for? And this is where you can just say, you know what? We're going to own up to this. Hat in hand, come to the American people and say, you know what? Yeah, that was us. Because what have you got to lose at this point? There's not another election where this White House is up for anything. About the only thing I can figure is that they might try to be cover a little bit for Hillary's sake. But she hasn't even decided if she's going to run or not. You know, I'm not sure why they can't come out and just simply level with people instead of have a response saying, well, dude, that was like 2 years ago. This is probably one of the biggest things that happened in this administration. And, dude, that was like 2 years ago. Well, dude, you were there. Dude, you were a part of this. And dude, four people died. And that's the bottom line here. That's what's going on here the whole way. And to have the White House and its surrogates say, you know what? We shouldn't even be talking about this. Well, give us some answers and we'll move on. Give us some legitimate answers that says, you know what? This is why this took place. Just answer the questions and then we will know the answers and we'll be able to move on with our lives. That's the bottom line here. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. If you'd like to be a part of things, also, 803-73 if you'd like to text us, and we head to the phone lines. We've got Doug on the line. Hi, Doug. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Jeremy. How are you doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Well, I was just listening to some of your comments there about, you know, them being generality and then it's, you know, not being specific on certain things. Well, when he was in the Rose Garden, he said it was some terrorist attack, but that was generality. I think they use generality and specifics two different ways. I think because he said it was in general, we thought it was in generality, but he took it as specific attacks to Benghazi. I don't understand.
Well, I don't know. I don't quite get where this White House goes with whatever they say because they end up talking themselves in circles. I don't know.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling sometimes.
It really is. Doug, I got to run. Top of the hour's coming up, but thanks for your call today. Appreciate it. And we continue on. Jeremy Lawrence Show, hour number two, coming up. Keep it here, 590 WKZO.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.